This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, the substance is of Christ. The Bible is constantly affirming that the life after the Spirit is superior to the life after the flesh. That if a person is living only to satisfy himself, his own body needs, that life will end in frustration, in emptiness, with a sense of total meaninglessness. The life of the flesh is not fulfilling. Ultimately, it's empty. In contrast, the life after the Spirit is a life that is rich, a life that is full, a life that has real meaning and purpose. A life that is satisfying. And many a time, a person who has come to that frustration, trying to please and satisfy his own flesh, and finally will take an honest evaluation and look around and see the emptiness that he has created for himself, how that there seems to be no real meaning or purpose. You live from day to day with no real future in sight. And the person decides, well, I'm going to live after the Spirit. I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. I'm going to start really living for others, and I'm going to start really giving myself as God would have me to give myself unto Him and unto others. The moment that decision is made, you will discover that there are three powerful forces that you must contend with: the world, the flesh, and the devil. You'll have to contend with the world because the world has set itself against this kind of a life. The world says, eat, drink, and be merry. The world says, indulge yourself. You're worth it. Be extravagant. Enjoy life. Live for yourself. Take care of yourself. Watch out for yourself. No one else is going to. And the world actually advocates the self-life and really holds as models those who do live after their flesh. For you see, this world is in rebellion against God and against the law of God. And so if I seek to live a spiritual life, the world will call me a fool. They have studied well the cruel tactic of ridicule and mockery. And they know how to use that as a weapon against people, so that if you stand up for that which is good, you'll be ridiculed for it. They'll make fun of you. It is interesting that we live in a world that really is calling good evil and evil good. The Bible says, woe unto them who do this. But you see, words like purity, holiness, and righteousness are looked upon by the world as sort of narrow kind of living. And so often you have cast at you, oh, so you're a Puritan, are you? Well, what makes you think you're so holy? Well, you have a holier-than-thou attitude, don't you? Oh, you think you're so righteous. And they use these words with disdain. Rather than being admirable traits, they are looked upon as bad traits. On the other hand, words such as freedom, liberty, they are used to express that which is admired. Oh, he has such liberty. Oh, he's a real liberal. And they use it in a good sense, is that, hey, he doesn't mind anything. You know, you can do anything around him. He doesn't care. You know, he can accept any kind of lifestyle. You don't have to feel guilty or wrong when you're around him. That guy is very liberal, you know. And they are looked upon as sort of admirable kind of traits. If you can live with all kinds of filth going on around you, then, oh, you're very admirable, you know. And so the world holds up to admire those who are living after the flesh, and holds up to ridicule those who would live after the Spirit. Yet, I groan within my spirit as I look at the direction the world is going today. As I see the trends developing and moving in a direction that is threatening our destruction, I am extremely concerned for my grandchildren's sake. Of what kind of a world will they have to live in? And I find myself praying, Lord, please come, spare them the miseries that man is leading himself to in this downward bent of the world around us. But if you seek to live a spiritual life, you're going to find that the world is opposed to you, because the world wants to bring you under its control, and the world wants to bring you under its influence, and it wants you to march to its drum. And to refuse to do so is to bring upon yourself the scorn and the ridicule of the world. The second force that I have to contend with is my own flesh. Now, I live in a body that really is an extremely marvelous instrument that has been created by God. And I marvel at the human body, its capacities, its abilities, that which God has built in. I stand in awe of God's creative genius when I study the human body. Now, the body has certain needs if it is to survive. The body does need oxygen. The body does need moisture. The body does need chemicals and minerals. And if we did not reproduce, man would cease to exist upon this planet. And so there is the necessity of procreation. Now, in order that man might survive, God has built into the body certain drives or certain appetites, so that I at times can become tremendously thirsty because these appetites are powerful and they are influential. For some reason, I seem to be hungry all the time. And the desire for sex can become overwhelming. Now, these are all natural things that God has built in for the survival of the human race. But God never intended that I be a slave to these things. God never intended that I be a slave to drink, or that I be a slave to my appetite, or that I be a slave to sex. They have their place, an important place, but not as a master over me. My life should not be ruled by my body desires or appetites, because when my body desires are ruling, it becomes a tyrant. And it does not give you any freedom, but it begins to force you into all kinds of compromising situations. Now, when I decide to live after the Spirit, my body, my fleshly desires are opposed to my living after the Spirit. Because the Spirit is saying, look, you should be ruled by the Spirit, not by the flesh. But the flesh is not willing to relinquish its control. And so there is a battle that begins to rage within me. The Spirit against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And these are contrary. And the flesh is a very powerful, awesome enemy. For it continues to make its demands upon me that I might become a slave of my own fleshly desires. The flesh seeks to control me and bring me under its influence. When I decide to live after the Spirit, there is also that spiritual battle that takes place. For Satan is opposed to our life in the Spirit. And I find that we have a real battle against the devil. And he, being a spirit, is really no match for me. I'm at a great disadvantage. For he is wiser than I. He is more clever than I. He is more powerful than I. And trying to go into conflict against him, I find myself being battered every time. For I am no match for him. He is a master deceiver, as well as a liar. And in his deception, he will come often as an angel of light, challenging God or the ways of God. And I find that it is difficult to battle against his power. For he is not alone. There are millions of spirits that are aligned with him, whose purpose is to drag me down into the gutter. They have the power to harass my mind. They can cause fear. They can cause anxiety. They can cause discouragement. They can cause depression. They can bring me to a point of despair. Now, with all of these forces against living a righteous life in Christ Jesus, you wonder, is it possible to live a life of real victory in Jesus Christ? When these things are all opposing me, any one of them greater than I, is it possible that I could ever live a life of real victory in Jesus, a life after the Spirit? Here's where the words of John in his first epistle always bring encouragement to my heart, because John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as we sang this morning, and though the prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him, one little word will fell him. Yes, it is possible, for God has provided for us the way and the path of victory through the cross of Jesus Christ. And there on the cross, Christ wrought victory over the enemy, victory that extends to me. There he conquered the enemy and defeated him completely. And so to live the life of victory in the Spirit, I have the strength and the power of Jesus Christ that is given unto me, so that I can indeed live after the Spirit and not after my flesh. Paul tells us here that he has made us alive, that is, spiritually alive, who were dead. He's made me alive to the things of the Spirit, for he has forgiven me all my trespasses. You see, also going against me was my past sin. For my past sin declared that I should die. The wages of sin is death. Going against me was the law, for the law was condemning me. The law tells me the righteous standard that God will accept. It points to the path and says, this is the path that you are to walk. But I could not walk that path. I stumbled, I fell. I turned aside from that path. And having turned aside, the law could not restore me to the path. All it could do was point a guilty finger at me and condemn me. And it condemned me to death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. So I find myself condemned to death by my own sin. I find the law pointing its finger and says, guilty of death. But Christ blotted out those handwriting of ordinances which were against me and contrary to me and pointing their finger at me and saying, guilty, he should die. He blotted out that law so that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Having blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us and contrary to us, as he nailed them to his cross. But then he went on, and he spoiled the principalities and the powers. That is, these spirit entities. Paul said to the Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers, these spirit forces that are ruling in the world today. We see a world wrapped in darkness. We see a world alienated from God, in rebellion against God. A world that is under Satan's control. And it's tough to live a righteous life in that environment. But Jesus Christ provided the way through his victory over these principalities and powers there on the cross. He triumphed over them and made an open display of his victory as he triumphed over them through the cross. So that there at the cross, Jesus defeated the power of Satan, which means that any power that Satan seeks to exercise over your life is only usurped power. Jesus Christ has redeemed you from the power of the enemy. And though he may come against you as a roaring lion, Jesus pulled his teeth. So all he can do is roar, the bite is gone. And you can have complete victory over the enemy through the cross of Jesus Christ and his victory on the cross. Not only for yourself, but also for those members of your family that are dear and close to you who today are still under the power of the enemy and the power of darkness. You see, Christ paid the price to redeem the world. And those that Satan holds on to today, he holds on to by force, but it is chutzpah. There is no legal right that he has to them. For Jesus paid the price for all men. That is why Paul, in writing to Timothy, said that we might take them from the captivity of the enemy who has taken them captive against their wills. There are many people today in the captivity of Satan, but you, as a child of God, can come against that power of darkness that is holding them, and you can demand in Jesus' name, through the victory of the cross that he has already accomplished over Satan, that Satan release them and let them go. And you can set them free from that blinding, damning influence of Satan that has twisted and perverted their minds. You have that power through the victory of Jesus to set them free. For he must yield to the victory of Christ, which he accomplished on the cross. And when you come against him and resist him in the name of Jesus, he has to flee. Oh, what glorious victory we have today through Jesus Christ and through the cross of Jesus Christ. And what that means to us personally is that we can have complete victory over the world. I'm no longer a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of God's kingdom. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. I'm passing through. And my allegiance is to God's kingdom first and foremost. My life is no longer ruled and dictated to by the worldly fashions, but now ruled by Jesus Christ. I can also have glorious victory over my own flesh. It no longer rules over me, but my spirit in union with God's spirit reigns. Now, I still have fleshly desires. I still get thirsty. I still get hungry. I still desire sex. That's a part of the very nature that God created. But these desires no longer rule over me. Instead of living to eat, I eat to live. Big difference. You see, when the flesh is ruling, this is life to these people. But when the spirit is ruling, it's just a necessity, but it's subordinate to the things of the spirit. It's under control. It no longer masters over me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But it is Christ living in me. There's the mastery. I'm being ruled by him. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, whereby I was crucified to the world and the world to me. So I have power over the world. I have power over my flesh through the victory of Jesus upon the cross. And I also have power over the devil. I am no longer his slave, but I have been redeemed. The price of my redemption was paid by Jesus Christ, and he freed me from the slavery to Satan, and as he has made me a child of God. And I can resist him in the name of Jesus, and he must flee. The victory of Jesus at the cross. How important it is that we recognize this, that that victory is extended to our lives and we can have victory over the world, the flesh, the devil, all through the cross of Jesus Christ. Years ago, when England was at war with France, and Cromwell had gone out with the British Navy to engage the French in what was to be the deciding battle of the war, people realized the significance of this battle. And in those days, there was no radio. Thus, they had to depend upon visual type of communication. And, of course, they would use the semaphore flags. They would use the light blinking on the ship. Or they would use, well, even in those days, they didn't have the Morse code. And so they were dependent upon visual type of communication over distances. And thus there were people stationed along Dover's shores waiting for a ship to return from battle to bring news of how the battle went. And finally, through the fog, there came this ship. And the man on the deck began to signal with the flags to those standing on the shore as he spelled out with the flags the words, Cromwell defeated. And at that point, the fog moved in again, and the message went out through England by messengers, Cromwell defeated. And all of England went into mourning, realizing that this could bring the end of the kingdom. But after a period of time, a couple of hours, as the ship drew near, the fellow began to flash the signals again. Cromwell defeated the enemy. And their mourning was turned into joy and rejoicing and celebration. The enemy has been defeated. When Jesus was hanging there upon the cross, the disciples, not really understanding its full significance, as he hung there and died, the message went out, Jesus defeated. And they went into mourning. And for 3 days they agonized and grieved over the defeat of their Lord and of their Master. But after the 3rd day, when they came to the tomb and found it empty, and later in the day, as Jesus met with them and showed himself alive after his death, by many infallible proofs, they got the full message of what the cross really means. And what it means to you and to me today is that Jesus defeated the enemy, and we can know victory through him. And we can live a life of victory through the cross and the power that God has made available to us through the death of Jesus Christ, I can live a life that pleases God. I can live the way God intended me to live, after the Spirit, in full fellowship with Him. You know, as we're out there in the world and we face the battering from the world, many times by the time we get to church, we just sort of drag in the front door, crawl down the aisle and pull ourselves up on a seat and just say, oh, this is it, I've had it. Can't go another week. Because we can take a real battering out there as we're facing the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's not easy. But even as we sit here in the presence of the Lord and God gets our eyes in the right direction and He corrects our perspective and we begin to see the eternal, then God's Spirit begins to strengthen us and give us that power and that help that we need. And though we drag in, we walk out with squared shoulders, ready to face the world, the flesh, the devil, because we have victory through Jesus Christ. And we shall conquer. He must win. He has won the battle. Martin Luther wasn't quite right on that verse. He must win the battle. He has won the battle. Satan was defeated at the cross. All we have to do is enter into that victory today. So we pray. Father, we thank You for the glorious victory that we can experience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That victory that is ours even now. Minister, Father, to those who have been going through such a conflict. Those who have actually stumbled and fallen, tripped up by the world, overcome by their flesh, defeated by Satan. May they, O Lord, this day, with new resolve, with the new confidence and trust and faith, stand up in the name of Jesus and lay claim to that victory where on the cross He spoiled the principalities and powers, triumphed over them, and made an open display of His victory. Help us, Lord, to enter into that place of victory today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you feel like you need help today, and who doesn't? But if you need special help today, we encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Some of the pastors will be back there to pray with you, to help you that you might indeed go forth from this service in the power of Jesus Christ. As the scriptures say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. And having done all, stand. And thank God we can. We can stand against the world, we can stand against our flesh, and we can stand against the enemy through Jesus Christ. More than conquerors through Him who loved us. May God be with you and give you great victory this week in Jesus' name.